Talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. I trust that you had a good Thanksgiving. I know that we did. I probably ate too much turkey, but it's hard to resist that. Give a joyful shout, all you people of the land. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. And we are the people of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. That's Psalm 100. Are you thankful today? I trust you are. I know I am. Thankful that the Lord has saved my soul. Thankful that the Lord has allowed me to enjoy this great country. And to enjoy Thanksgiving. We have so much to thank the Lord for today. Be thankful with a grateful heart. And we do want to do that. I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 5 this morning, verses 16 through 26. So follow along, please, in your Bibles. And I don't know if they're on the overhead, but I will read them for you. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for your word this morning. And as we enter into this discussion again on the Holy Spirit, and walking in step with the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, how we pray that all of us here will do that as we realize again your will for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday I talked about being filled with the Spirit. And this is not a mystery, but if you remember, it's an ongoing thing. We never are completely filled up. We have to be filled constantly, daily, with the Holy Spirit. We understand that the Holy Spirit came into us when we accepted Christ. He's indwelling us. But we also have this struggle going on that I'm going to preach on this morning. And so we need to be aware that though we struggle with our sin nature at times, we can still be filled and the Holy Spirit can influence us and control us. We can also grieve the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to do that. Grieving the Holy Spirit, resisting the Holy Spirit, is saying no to him. And we don't want to walk in resistance to him. We want to walk in obedience to him. And there's a real connection, if we understand being filled with the Holy Spirit, with our will. Because our will is so important. And I hope this morning that you've come and your will is, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up. I want more of you and not less of you. And we need to understand as the Holy Spirit fills us that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us constantly through his word and sometimes in the quietness of our heart. And as we enter into this sermon this morning, we're going to be looking at how we can walk in step with the Holy Spirit. We see in the military a great example of walking in step with the Holy Spirit. It's called cadence. Now, cadence is sort of a rhythm. You have it in music. But in the military, they have it, and it's interesting that it's able to keep soldiers in step usually with the leader, whether it's a drill sergeant or not. And I don't know if you had that experience when you were in the military, because I know some of you in here served in the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, whatever branch it was. So some of you who are veterans, do you remember cadence? Stepping together with your leader? Something about left, right, and then you'd have a little jingle to go along with that? Well, just to refresh your memories, to go back to your days in basic training, we have a video, so pay attention. We hope we have it. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Is it coming, Tyrone? 1 minute. Well, while we're waiting, I can... Did you enjoy the video? Oh, isn't technology a wonderful thing? It did work the other day. But did you hear that cadence? Did you hear the drill sergeant calling out to the troops and the troops would answer him back? And they were keeping in step with their drill sergeant. We want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. In order to do that, we need to understand this context before us this morning as we enter into the discussion on walking in step with the Holy Spirit. So let's look first of all, again at verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now this word walk here is a word that talks about our daily life. And it's in the imperative, which means it's a command. God is commanding us to walk in the Spirit. So we need to understand that first of all. And because it's a command, we need to understand that we are soldiers for Christ. In 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, we read this, that we are soldiers in the Lord's army. Maybe some of you are familiar with this text, maybe some of you aren't, but I think it's important for us this morning to understand again that when you come to know Christ, you enter His army and you are His soldier. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. When you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you join the Lord's army. You're a soldier. And I think today, we've lost a little bit of the enthusiasm in serving the Lord in His army. And we all need to be revived. We all need to be aware of our responsibility as a soldier. When I was growing up, the church that I attended sang this song, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." Do you remember that hymn? I grew up singing that in Vacation Bible School. They were teaching me as a child that when you are a follower of Christ, you're a soldier. And I think, again, it's important for us to realize that in this battle that we're facing against the world, the devil, and ourself. I'm so thankful this morning that the Lord has enlisted me in his army. How about you? Are you excited to be in his army? Who said that? All right. Thank you. That means he's excited. Now, secondly, we need to understand that we are in an inward conflict. The second part of verse 16 says, You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verse 17, it says this, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Here's a reality that we face as soldiers. Not only are we fighting an external enemy, and that is the world and Satan, but we're also fighting an inward enemy. Do you know who that enemy is? It's our sin nature. Even though we've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit and we are made followers and children of God, and the Holy Spirit takes up residency in us, we still have this sin nature that is in us. It's called the inward conflict that we all struggle with. And as we read these two verses, I think most of us are aware of the battle and the conflict that we are engaged in. As we see, it's the flesh, it's the sin nature, and these are in opposition to one another, contrary to one another, so that we do not do the things you wish. Have you ever found yourself as a follower of Christ saying, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for the Lord. And then maybe you don't fulfill what you said you were going to do. The things that you want to do, you find yourself not doing many times. And the reason is because of the sin nature that indwells us. And the only way to have victory over the sin nature is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to control us and influence us as we follow our great commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're well aware of the sin nature. As we look at these evidences of that Paul is going to relate to us this morning, it's interesting, in verse 18 it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, this word led means that we are willing to surrender to our commander-in-chief, we're willing to do what he wants us to do. If we're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, now here's the evidence. If you find yourself walking this way, that means you're walking according to your sin nature, according to the flesh, and not according to the Spirit. Here they are. Adultery. Fornication, which means having sex outside of a marriage. Uncleanness, lewdness. Now notice that these four here are talking about the sexual activity, our bodies. If you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, as Paul was encouraging the Corinthians to refrain from sexual immorality, it was so prevalent at Corinth. And he's saying, you know, your body has been purchased with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Don't take your body and join it to a harlot. Because if you do, you're becoming one with her. And that, again, is against the will of God. And so we see in this battle of our flesh, of the immorality that's so prevalent, not only in our culture, but many times in even the church of Jesus Christ. All of us are prone to fall at times, and that's why it's so important for us to have our guard up, not our guard down. We have to be careful. The Word of God says, give no appearance of evil. Do you know what my understanding of that is? Don't put yourself in a compromising situation, our position. If you're struggling with something, don't go there. Do you know the number one problem with males today in this country is pornography? I'm well aware of it. is something that over 35% of the men, maybe even more in this country, struggle with on a daily basis. Now, the only way to deal with it is don't go there. Turn it off. What's happened in the computer age has made it so available for all of people. They can sit at home and they can turn on their computer and they can be entertained and they can indulge in pornography. And the word here is giving us a warning about that. If we find ourselves doing that, we're not walking in the Spirit. Let's get into verse 20. Idolatry and sorcery. These are in relationship to our God. You understand what idolatry is putting something before God. We read in the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, I don't believe that you probably have an idol at home or maybe even a shrine at home. I think as a Christian, you realize that we should not make idols. That is what we call the second commandment. You shall not make any image, graven things in heaven, on earth, or underneath the earth, or bow down to them and worship them. But we have other types of idols that we bow down to. And you know what they are, don't you? Anything that takes the place of God. Anything that we're putting before God. Idolatry is something that is very prevalent even in our hearts at times when we are seeking something besides the Lord and giving ourselves to something continuously that's dominating our lives. I'm probably going to get into trouble saying this, but do you know football can become idolatry? Are you aware of that? I mean, some individuals, that's all they live for in the fall. I remember this one couple as I was sharing with them some truth about God's word and about meeting each other's needs. And the wife was saying, you know, when football season comes, it's like my husband disappears for about 5 months. I don't hardly see him. He's just glued to the TV watching football game after football game. And I thought to myself, well, you know, that can be a problem. Problem in your marriage. It can also be a problem in your relationship with God if that's dominating your life. It's interesting when I look at fans and how they dress. Many of you have been to ball games, and I'm not against sports. Please understand that, because I am a big supporter of sports. But sports has their place in our lives, and they shouldn't dominate us to the point where God is second place, or maybe even third place in our lives. But I remember the first time I went into the Viking Stadium when it was in the Metrodome, and I'd never been to a professional football game before, and there's a lot of hype and anticipation, and man, we'd spent the whole day getting down to the cities. The group that I went with said, you know, we're going to take this day, and we're going to leave at 9 o'clock here from Bemidji. We're going to drive to St. Cloud, Minnesota, and we're going to go to Five Guys Restaurant because we're five guys. There were five of us. And that was back when they were coming out with this burger, and that was supposed to be the best place for a hamburger and fresh fries and all that. So we made it to St. Cloud, and we went into Five Guys and had our lunch. And then a couple of the guys said, now our next stop is going to be Roger Cabela's. And we spent about 2 hours there in Cabela's. Now, I'm not a big hunter or fisherman. I'm not. So what I did, I went up on the balcony, or mezzanine, there in Rogers, and I had something to eat. The other guys were down there shopping and browsing and looking at all of the wonderful rifles and fishing rods and everything else. Well, we finally made it to downtown Minneapolis, and it was early. And it was freezing, and I couldn't believe how crazy people were as they were enjoying themselves outside of the Metrodome, doing something that's very popular at football games. You know what they call that activity? Yeah, tailgating. And this was my first example with tailgating. I mean, there are people out there that have their back SUVs opened up or whatever they were, and they're barbecuing and doing all kinds of things. Now, it's a nice thing to have a party, and I know that. And there whooping it up and getting themselves primed, I guess you could say, for the game. And I looked around and I thought, man, this is a big deal. This is really a big deal. Oh, we finally get into the game and the place is packed out and we were playing this team from Tampa Bay and it was a horrible game. The game started late at about 8 o'clock and didn't get over with till about 11 o'clock or something like that. We lost. Vikings played terribly that day, that night. And so we're making our way out of the Metrodome. And we had parked fairly close because we arrived really early. And we wanted to be there early because one of the individuals that was traveling with us couldn't walk a long distance. So we got into the vehicle at about 11:30, and we couldn't get out of downtown Minneapolis until about 12:30. We sat in that parking lot for an hour. And we began our trek home. We got home to Bemidji around 5 o'clock in the morning. All of us were weary and tired. And I asked myself, why did I do this? Why did I do this? It was supposed to be a great experience. It wasn't. It wasn't very fulfilling and satisfying. Now, what I'm saying is this. As we go through life, there are things that the world is constantly saying, if you experience this, you're really going to have a great time. And so often, it's a lie. Once you get over there and experience it, it isn't what you thought it was going to be. I realize now that I'm probably irritating a lot of you, but that's okay. I am going to watch the Vikings tonight. How many of you are going to watch the Vikings tonight? A few of you. Well, they may win, they may lose. I am so thankful this morning that my joy is not on the Vikings winning or losing. My joy is in the Lord. And I hope and pray that your joy is in the Lord as well. But we are in this inward conflict between the flesh and the spirit in our sin nature. We see again idolatry, sorcery. This sorcery, the background to this word is pharmaceutical in the English. Witchcraft. And usually back then, they would also combine drugs with witchcraft. Sorcery, seeking another god and seeking to make contact with the spirits. Now we get into another group of sins, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. All of us, when we look at this list, can probably say we're guilty of some of these. And we've walked in some of these. I can't stand up here and lie to you. I'm not going to tell you that I'm constantly filled with the Spirit. There are times that I get envious. Sometimes there's hatred that comes up in my heart. And I realize that. And I realize at that point I have to confess it. Confess it as sin. And the Lord forgives me as I confess it. And as the Lord allows me to be washed and cleansed. And I can get my fellowship restored with the Lord. You may wonder, Pastor, how can you be that way? Well, it's the sin nature. Have you ever gone to Chuck E. Cheese? No? Okay, well, I had the opportunity to take my grandchildren there once, and I'll never forget the arcade they had there, and there's one particular game I thought was so interesting. It was called Whack-A-Mole. And this was a game where these heads would pop up, and you had this big hammer. And whenever a head would pop up, you'd whack them down. And the more heads that you would get, obviously, you would win the game. And I thought, boy, this is a wonderful illustration about how our sin nature props its head up from time to time. And what do we have to do? We have to whack it down. We have to whack it down. If we don't, the sin nature is going to have control and influence over us. Paul said continuously, put off the old man and put on the new man. And that's something we have to do daily, and sometimes throughout the day, we have to do it hourly. So understand the inward conflict that we're in against the world, against the devil, and against ourselves. And the evidence is so clear. We are guilty sometimes of walking in the flesh. And therefore, we need to understand the evidence of keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Well, before we get there, let's look again at verse 21, because I need to make a comment here about what Paul says about those who practice such things. Just as I also told you in verse 21 in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, is Paul saying that if you're continuously dominated by your sin nature, there's a possibility that maybe you've never given your life to Christ? That's one interpretation. It's true. In my experience with sharing the gospel with some individuals, and they make a profession of Christ, and yet you don't see any evidence in their life, you wonder sometimes if it was real, if it was genuine. Now, I can't peek into someone else's heart and know for sure if they're saved or not saved, because I know there is the possibility that when someone first comes to know Christ, and as the Holy Spirit begins to work in them, that sometimes they live sometimes more in sin than they do in a walk with the Lord. But the Lord begins to convict them. And what you see take place is their life begins to change. Have you seen someone come to Christ and their life is different? Have you seen that? How the Holy Spirit begins to change you and to shape you and mold you into the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think it's important for us to realize when Paul is saying that, is that there might have been some believers there who were struggling with sin, and there were also some there who might not be believers, and they need to get saved. They need to come to know Christ as their Savior. And I'll just leave that with the Holy Spirit, because I understand, my theology teaches me that if you're saved, you're saved. But you can also be a carnal Christian. Have you heard that word carnal? It means fleshly. But you don't want to live there in your carnality. We understand that the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul was saying, I want to give you meat, but I couldn't. You didn't want to receive it because you're still fleshly. You're still carnal in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But God saves us. He begins to work on us through the Holy Spirit. And he wants to lead us out of sin, not into sin. And that's one of the conflicts we have. The Holy Spirit against our flesh, against our sin nature. And the only way to have victory in it is to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. The evidence we see of being filled with the Spirit, verses 22 and following. So please read along with me. I'll read, but you can follow in your Bible. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is what the Holy Spirit is going to produce in our lives as we allow Him to fill us and as we allow Him to direct us through our life, as He influences us and controls us and leads us in a path of victory for the Lord's sake. This is what we understand now when we get to the second word for walk. As we continue in verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is from Philippians 2, 20, verse 20. So we crucify the flesh, because we've been crucified with Christ. We reckon that unto ourselves. In verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And here's another word for walk, and this is where we get this military cadence. The first word for walk has to do with our daily life. This word has to do with staying in step with the Holy Spirit. So my question to you is, how do we stay in step with the Holy Spirit? Well, it's not very difficult, because the Holy Spirit is the author of God's Word. So God's given us His Word, and the Holy Spirit is constantly shouting out to us through the Word to stay in step with Him. What is He saying? He is saying constantly through the Word that was recorded through men as the Holy Spirit was filling them under the Holy Spirit's influence, the words that God wanted them to record. And so when we are staying in step with the Holy Spirit, we're staying in step with God's Word. Does that make sense to you? If you're obeying the commands of God's Word, you're staying in step with the Holy Spirit. It's not that complicated. It's very simple, and it's very true as we understand the Word of God this morning. But here's the catch. In order to stay in step with the Holy Spirit, we have to be willing. We have to be willing to hear the Holy Spirit. We have to be willing to obey the Holy Spirit. It's about obedience, doing what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. And as we obey the Holy Spirit, we are walking in step with Him. Isn't it a blessing that God has given us a word, a sure word, a word that we can hear, a word that we can obey, a word that's going to lead us victoriously in this life? We do not have to be dominated by our sin nature. We can have victory over our sin nature, and we can have a life pleasing to the Lord as we allow Him to fill us and to control us through the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. As I close, I just want you to be aware again of the battle within all of us this morning. Do you understand that? Do you understand the battle that's going on in your heart? Do you understand that there are Christians who sometimes walk in the flesh and they're not walking in the Spirit? Do you understand that we've been guilty of that? We've been guilty of that as well. As we look at that evidence that Paul is listing here in Galatians 5, when you look at all of those things that were mentioned, have you ever been guilty of any of them? As you allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart, you have to confess, yes. I am so thankful this morning that we don't have to live there. We don't have to be there anymore. We can walk in step with the Spirit. And it's a wonderful thing to be around another believer who's walking in step with the Spirit, because you can sense immediately the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the self-control. You can sense those. You can see them in someone's life. And that's one of the reasons why we come together on Sundays, is to encourage each other in walking with the Lord. We sometimes say this, you know, that person is a Christian, but they're just not walking with the Lord right now. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that? It's true. There are people who have committed their lives to Christ, but they're not walking with the Lord. They need to walk with the Lord and step with the Holy Spirit, because as they do, they will not have this inward conflict constantly. The only way to have peace is to allow the Holy Spirit to continuously fill us and then to walk in obedience to God's Word. And the Holy Spirit will never tell us to do something that the Word of God says we shouldn't do. I've had Christians say to me, well, you know, I really don't need the Bible anymore because I've read it once. And I've said, well, do you remember everything that you've read? Well, maybe not, but I'll just listen to the Holy Spirit because He's speaking to me all day long. And my response to that is this. The Holy Spirit speaks primarily through the Word that God has given us. And yes, He does speak to us in the quietness of our hearts, but He's never going to tell us something that the Word says we shouldn't do. Do you understand that? There are Christians today who are not walking in obedience to the Word, and they're walking in obedience, I think, to something else. It might be themselves, or it might even be their enemy. And we as followers of Christ want to make sure that we're walking with the Holy Spirit. This is what we call sanctification. growing in our relationship with Christ. And I think all of you here want to grow. All of you in here this morning want to understand that we can have victory in Christ. And that's the kind of victory that I long for in my life, just as you do. It's one thing having victory in a sport. It's another thing having victory in your Christian life as you live for the Lord. Amen? We know we're not perfect. We'll never be perfect till we arrive. We are sinners saved by grace, but we can sin less, can't we? We'll never be sinless, but we can sin less as we allow the Holy Spirit to direct us and to lead us. Father, we thank you this morning that we can have victory in you. And Lord, we confess this morning that at times we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. Sometimes, Lord, we are rebellious. We sometimes are resisting the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for all of us here. I pray for myself that I'll be filled, that I'll never resist the Holy Spirit. Lord, you know at times I have, but Lord, I want you to be supreme in my life and my heart. And I pray that for our church. I pray that we as a group of people here this morning will walk in step with the Holy Spirit, where we ask it in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.